It's important to note that today in Eretz Yisrael was Yom HaZikaron, the day on which 24,000 plus Jews who died in Eretz Yisrael, dating back to the beginning of the first Yishuv, who were killed at the hands of Arab enemies of Klal Yisrael, were remembered today. And obviously, tonight, tomorrow in Eretz Yisrael, they are celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut, independence and establishment of Medinas Yisrael. Many shuls in Chutz La'aretz will also be celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut tomorrow in the form of various modifications to the davening. Again, those that do altogether mark Yom Ha'atzmaut by doing so will be doing so tomorrow. However, since on the calendar the actual date of Heir is not tomorrow, but it is on Friday, there are a number of Gedolei Poskim from the camp of those that did feel it important to mark Yom Ha'atzmaut, such as my grandfather Zatzal and Yibadal L'chaim Rav Heschel Shechter Shlita. They're both of the opinion that the recital of Hallel, for those that do so, should not be done tomorrow, but should be done on Heir, the actual date of independence, which is Friday. Granted, in Eretz Yisrael, because of concerns of Chilul Shabbos, there is a need to observe Yom Ha'atzmaut a day earlier, but both my grandfather and Rav Shechter always felt that in Chutz La'aretz, where that is not a concern, then the actual calendar date, which in their opinion Halacha feels is significant, should be marked with the recital of Hallel, which is Heir, which is Friday, not Thursday. And my grandfather therefore also would omit Tachanun on Friday, but would at the same time say Tachanun tonight and tomorrow. Again, different minhagim in that regard. And the most important message is that it should never lead to any sort of machlokes, but that everyone should follow their family minhag, the direction of their rav, and most importantly, to appreciate the remarkable historic developments unfolding during our lifetime in Eretz Yisrael. That cannot be lost on anyone. It should not be lost on anyone. Whether one chooses to, yes, say Hallel or not say Hallel, or to say it tomorrow, to say it Friday, really pales in comparison to the absolute necessity of appreciating what we have been zocha to see in our lifetime unfolding in Eretz Yisrael. Just as one small example, there's so many, but just one small example, this week's Haftorah, this coming week, I mentioned yesterday in the Parsha Shir, the Haftorah, which so often we kind of allow our eyes to glaze over as the Baal Kriya reads the Haftorah, and even if we try to focus and listen and follow along, we don't always understand what the messages of the Navi are. The Haftorah concludes this coming week in Amos Perek Tes with the words, Hine yomim bo'im nu Hashem, behold, days will be coming, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the descriptions of what those days that will come will be like is V'hitifu heharim asis. The mountains of Eretz Yisrael will drip with wine. And the next pasuk describes, V'shavti es shivus ami Yisrael, I will return my nation Israel. Ubanu arim neshamos, they will rebuild desolate cities. V'yashavu, they will settle them. And then immediately thereafter, the pasuk says, V'natu kramim, they will plant vineyards. V'shasu asyenam, and drink their wine. Radak explains, the emphasis is, the wine won't be consumed by others, it will be consumed by the Jews themselves who plant those vineyards. This phrase, this pasuk, struck me because one of the very, very first agricultural ventures of the first Aliyah, when they first started rebuilding the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Petach Tikva, Zichron Yaakov, back in 1882 or so, Baron Edmund de Rothschild from France sent French grapes along with experts in winemaking to assist the early settlers of Eretz Yisrael in establishing the Carmel Winery to have some sort of business producing wine in Eretz Yisrael. And whereas in the 1970s, there were 7 wineries in all of Eretz Yisrael. A mere 50 or so years later, there are now between 300 and 400 wineries in all of Eretz Yisrael. So when you read the Pesukim, the mountains will drip wine. And you read how the Navi tells us, what's going to happen? I'll return my nation Israel to Eretz Yisrael. They will rebuild desolate cities. They will settle them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. Israel is somewhat unique in the world of wine-producing countries in that 85% of their wine production is consumed domestically, in-house, not exported, but consumed in Eretz Yisrael. So you read this psukim written by the Navi thousands of years ago, and you look around, you open your eyes, and you look what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, that itself, just one small little, seemingly small prat detail, should be enough to astound one and to bring one to an expression of Hakara Satov and gratitude that we have been zochet to live and to see what is unfolding in Eretz Yisrael in our very own lifetime. And in many ways, this started with the early aliyah of the Chassidim, the Talmidim of the Maggid of Mizritch back in the late 1700s, and also with the early aliyah of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon in the early 1800s. Professor Ari Morgenstern has a very fascinating thesis in which he argues that the Gra himself encouraged his Talmidim to make Aliyah because he argues that it was part of a messianic vision of Mashiach's sighting, of time for Mashiach's arrival. And he cites that there were actually many who believed that Mashiach would come in the year 1840, which is itself an interesting idea. He cites it based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tanat Ve'aliyo, Sheshes Alafim Shana Hevi Alma. The world, as we know, will exist for 6,000 years. In the Hebrew calendar, 6,000 years. And if one assumes that we're working with our Hebrew calendar, the Gemara then says in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, at least according to the opinion of Rebbe Dosa, Yemos HaMashiach are Arba Meos Shana. The Yemos HaMashiach, says Rebbe Dosa, Sanhedrin, Tzadi Tes, will be 400 years. Because the Pasuk says that Golos Mitzrayim was supposed to be va'avadum ve'inu osam arba meos shana. The pasuk also says, Samchenu, you should make us rejoice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kimos inisanu, the same number of days that you made us suffer, you should make us rejoice. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Dosha says, 400 years, Golos Mitzrayim, 400 years in Yemos HaMashiach, it's a parallel. So working with those two Gemaras, Sanhedrin Tzadi Zayin, Sanhedrin Tzadi Tes, if this world, the Gemara says, is 6,000 years, and the last 400 of those years are the Yemos HaMashiach. So 6,000 years minus 400 gives you the Hebrew year 5,600, which should come out to be 5,600, hopefully 1840. Okay, I'll leave it to you to confirm or deny. But 1840, says Dr. Ari Morgenstern, there was a very strong belief. He cites even from Gedolei Torah at that time that 1840 was the year in which perhaps Mashiach would come, and he seeks to argue that the Aliyah, the Tamidei Hagra, was perhaps undertaken with that in mind, that we're getting to the Yemos HaMashiach very, very soon, and therefore it's worth making that trip to Eretz Yisrael in preparation for the Yemos HaMashiach. He says, why is it the Chayyotam, who wrote, of course, the halachic work of the generation, wrote a work on the halachas of Eretz Yisrael called Shaarei Tzedek, which he published in the year 1811. He argues that, well, with the Aliyah of Talmidei HaGra, which occurred in 1809, 1810, perhaps he recognized that now there is a movement of Jews moving to Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to address it in halachic terms, and hence he published a sefer, Shaarei Tzedek, dealing with halachas of Eretz Yisrael. And I think it's worth just appreciating what this meant to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. You know, for us today, of course, it's challenging, it's a hassle, it's difficult. You have to call nefesh for nefesh to walk into the process. You got to, all the preparations that are entailed with Aliyah, it's a hassle. I mean, it's a mitzvah gedola, mitzvah rabba. It's a challenge, there's no question. It pales in comparison to what it was like to be Ola Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. The description of the first convoy of Ashkenazi families that made their way to Eretz Yisrael. Now, this was a convoy that was organized by Rav Hillel of Shklov, one of the ancestors of the Rivlin family in Yerushalayim, very well-known Israeli family. Ruby Rivlin, former president, stems from this family of Talmidei HaGro who made Aliyah. So they have a tradition in the family that their ancestor, of Hillel of Shklov, organized, together with his father, Binyamin of Shklov, an organization to promote Aliyah throughout the Jewish communities of White Russia, called Chazon Sion, an organization that they founded in the 1780s. And this Rav Hillel of Shklov then, in the year 1806, Gematria, 1806 is the year Tuf Kuf Samuch Vav. And again, I didn't check it. Feel free to confirm or deny. Tuf Kuf Samuch Vav, Gematria, Vahavi Enu, Letzir and Ircha. Perhaps. So in that year, 1806, Rav Hillel of Shklov called an Asifa, trying to organize a convoy of families to move to Eretz Yisrael, which he succeeded in doing. And 70 families, Ashkenazi families, traveled with Rav Hillel of Shklov in 1809. 70 Ashkenazi Jews, I should say. But consider the following. It was such a difficult journey that some of the married men who went and left their wives behind gave their wives gittin al tanai. In the event that I don't return or that you don't come to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be divorced. They literally were walking into an unknown. It took them 7 months to travel from Shklov to Eretz Yisrael. 7 months. Here we are. We get on a plane. We're there in less than 12 hours. We kvetch. We complain. 7 months traveling from Shklov to Eretz Yisrael. These 70 Jews who had to contend with searing heat and seasickness, threat of attack from anti-Semites along the way. And they get to Eretz Yisrael, and then what? Hunger, famine, no parnasa, primitive living conditions. The Mesiras Nefesh of these Jews is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. According to Ariel Morgenstern, it's because they were motivated by this intense belief in Yemos HaMashiach are approaching. We have to get to Eretz Yisrael. And look what they sparked with that Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. They were preceded by a smaller convoy, almost like a scout group, so to speak, headed by Menachem of Shklov, who preceded them. The main convoy went in 1809 with Rav Hillel of Shklov. Then they were followed a year later by Rav Yisrael of Shklov, also famous for his Sefer on Halacha Pa'as HaShulchan, one of the famous Talmidei HaGra, and he wrote a Sefer dealing with the Piskei Halacha of Eretz Yisrael. This was the movement of the Talmidei HaGra to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. As is well known, the Vilna Gaon himself attempted in 1778 to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he too left his wife and his children behind. We have the famous Igeres HaGra that he wrote to his wife, giving instructions as to how she should run the household and raise the children now that he's leaving her to go to Eretz Yisrael. He left in 1778, apparently made it, Ari Morgenstern writes, to Amsterdam, turned around and headed back, and later told his sons that min hashemayim, they didn't give him rishus to go. Whatever that meant, I don't know, but the Vilna Gaon tried his best himself to go to Eretz Yisrael, but realized he had to turn around and head back. So he didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael himself, but his Talmidim certainly did. Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov, and that group of Talmidei HaGra who made it to Eretz Yisrael settled in initially Tveria, then Tzfas, and contended with very, very significant challenges to succeed in that venture. But it is in their schus that they were followed by so many significant others. When you consider the fact that the Perushim community, as it was known, these families numbered in the year 1813 about 511 Jews in 1813. Now you jump ahead just two centuries later, and there are now 7 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Those 500 Jews who were Moser Nefesh literally to move to Eretz Yisrael along with those Talmidei HaGra. And now, mere two centuries later, from 511 Perushim, and some Sfaradim, of course, and some Hasidim, of course, but from that small number to 7 million plus, unbelievable, the incredible, incredible historic times that we live in and how we are zocha to watch this unfold in our own lifetime. And so, once again, just to conclude, regardless of what one's minhag when it comes to the tefillah is, but one must just stop and think and take into context, appreciate the historic events that are unfolding in our lifetime, and to give shevach hodat to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're zochah to see this process unfolding in our very own lifetime.